Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today, at the upper part of Daf Lamed Zayin, you will notice a Mishnah. With that, we begin. Hashochet es hamesukenes, one who slaughters an animal that was critically ill, very dangerously sick, prior to the shechita. Rabban Gamliel Omer, ad shetefarches biyad uberegel. We can determine that the shechita is an effective shechita if right after it's slaughtered there is a leg and a hind leg and foreleg movement, called a post-shechita movement. What this demonstrates to us is that the animal died as a result of the shechita, because there is a possibility, without this sign, as the animal having died prior to the shechita because of its very sickly state. Taking a look at Rashi at the top, ad shetefarches, the e lo mefarches, if the animal doesn't demonstrate any post-shechita movement, kimlu l'rabbonan, the rabbonan understand or know, the netula nishmosa kidem gemar shechitosa, that its life departed prior to the completion of the shechita. For an animal to be allowed in eating, it has to have its life breath removed through a complete shechita. Not a situation where the animal dies before the completion of the shechita. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Daya im Zinka. As far as a sign that it died as a result of the shechita, it is sufficient if Zinka. Zinka, Rashi explains, is a type of sound that animals emit after they are slaughtered. Rashi adds, on the third line from the top, im zinko, kederech shabahemois neufchois begroinam lachar shchita, vadam mekaleach umezanek bekoach. There is a type of sound that emits and a spurting of the blood that comes out with force. So if that took place, then we know it died as a result of the shchita, even though it was a sickly animal prior to the shchita. The word zinuk, Rashi explains, is a flow. In this case, the flow of blood. Omar Rabbi Shimon, Hashochet Balaila, one who slaughters a misukenis, a deathly ill animal, at night. Ulamochar Hishkim, Umotza Koslim Meleim Dam. And in the morning, after all, at night, there is no source of light. But he slaughtered anyway. And noticed in the morning, the neck was full of blood. Again, he shechted a mesukenes, so, and he couldn't have noticed anything at night, but in the morning he notices that the neck is full of blood, kshera, shezinka ukamidas rebelozer. The appearance of the blood around the neck is an illustration or an example of it having done zinuk, like rebelozer said. V'chachomim omrim ad shetefarches, oy biyad, oy beregel. The chachomim standard is a movement, a post-shechita movement of the foreleg or hind leg, oy ad shetekashkesh biznova, or a wagging of the tail. Echod behemodako ve'echod behemogasa. These standards apply to small, light cattle, like sheep and goats, and heavy cattle, as is the case of cows and oxen. Behemodako sheposhto yodo velo hichzira, a sheep, goat, that was shechted, a mesukenes, that was shechted, and it extended its foreleg, but did not withdraw it. In other words, an outward movement alone, psula, that is not a sign, a sufficient sign of life having been in the animal. She'eino elo hoitzoas nefesh bilvad. That's a simple sign of the life breath leaving it, but not a sign that the life breath left it as a result of the shechita, as a result of a completion of the shechita. All of these signs that we've spoken about till now are stated under what circumstances? That we're dealing with an animal that was known to be very sickly. If there's an animal that was known to be healthy, it had a status of health, even if it doesn't demonstrate any of the above mentioned signs, the shechita will be acceptable. Simply stated, all of the signs that we discussed above were in order to clear a doubt concerning an animal that, concerning which there is an inherent doubt, namely a mesukenes, where we are not sure if it died prior to the completion of the shechita. However, an animal that's known to be completely healthy, we don't need to have any of these signs because there is no point of doubt that we are trying to clear up. Now the Gemara. Mesukenes mimai desharia. The Mishnah mentioned that there are signs that will show us that you can eat the mesukenes that was shechted. But who says that a mesukenes is mutter to eat even with the pirchus, even with these movement signs? At this point in the Gemara, you notice a bracketed section. The bracketed section is here to enable one to skip the next couple lines in order to get immediately to an answer. In other words, the question was asked, from where do we know that a mesukenes is mutter? So if you skip the brackets, you'll notice the Gemara says, midom rachmona, from the fact that the Torah says, nevela lo tochal, mechlal de mesukenes sharyon. And of course, we'll have to elaborate on that when we get to it properly. However, we're just trying to demonstrate the structure of the Gemara, a question, and then immediately the answer. Within the brackets, the Gemara explains what the basis of thinking that the mesukenes should be prohibited. In other words, the question implies that there's room for thinking that it's prohibited, and hence I need a source for saying that mesukenes is mutar. And that will be explained within the brackets. Additionally, we notice the diamond. In fact, we notice a series of diamonds as you skim down the page. Under our Nosei Mivne heading that appears in the outside margin, you see a diamond is featured, and we've written Sidro, a series shel nisyonos of attempts, a series of attempts, Limtso Moker, to find a source, Shemesukenes Muter Al Yedei Shechita, that a behema that was deathly ill and received a proper Shechita before it actually died, that such a thing, such an animal, will be mutter. So we'll be looking for sources to convey that point. So that on Omid Aleph, we see three diamonds, and as you continue to Omid Beis, you'll notice another couple of diamonds, whereby we'll have five attempts to answer this question. The question was raised, the mesukenes, from where do we know that it's mutter? And mutter, of course, mutter after a proper shechita and the sign, the pirchus signs shown. So in the brackets, the Gemara asks, umimai tesik adaiten dasira, from where do you get the feeling that it should be prohibited, that I need to find a source of allowance? So the Gemara says, dichtiv, there is a pasuk that says, zois hachayo sher tochelu. Chayo echol, an animal that is full of life, eat, v'she'eno chayo lo tochal. The ha mesukenes eino chayo. The posuk implies, in other words, we can infer that only an animal that is full of life one is allowed to eat. However, an animal that's deathly ill, that won't live, one would not be allowed to eat, even if it demonstrates signs of pirchus after the shechita. So from the fact that we have this pasuk of Zos Hachaya Asher Tochelu, I get the impression that only animals that are full of life can be eaten. Where then do we come off saying that even a Misukenis can be eaten? So the Gemara will answer. In the first answer, the Gemara says, the Pasuk, the Torah warns against eating a Nevela, an animal that actually died. That implies that only an animal that actually died without any Shechita, that is prohibited. But an animal that received a Shechita, even though it may have died, that would be allowed. The Gemara will say, because if you were to think that a Musukenis is Usur, then you're basically telling me the animal, while it was alive, already had a prohibited status. Then it would be obvious that if that animal dropped dead and became an Nevela, it certainly would be Usur. There's no grounds for thinking that through death it would become Mutter. So from the fact that the Torah tells us that only after it dies it's prohibited, it shows us that prior to its death, when it was deathly ill, it could still have been Mutter, provided it received a Shechita. So we would see from there that Misukenis is Mutter. Now let's read this in the Gemara. Mida Omar Nevela lo tochal. From the fact that the Torah says, do not eat Nevela. And it may be pointed out that a Stam Nevela, your average animal that died, was a Misukenis immediately prior to its death. It was in a state of being deathly ill. The Torah tells us, don't eat the animal after it died. Michlal de Misukenis Sharia. From this we can infer that prior to its actual death, it would have been Mutter. That's the Misukenis. De'i salka daitach Misukenis Asira. Because if you were to think that Misukenis, which is a state of being prior to actual death, if that was already Usur, hashta mechayim Asir lachamisa mibayi, now that you tell me while it's still alive, it is already prohibited, after it actually dies, would I need to be told that that is prohibited? It would be so obvious, because there's no grounds for thinking that through death it would become Mutter. In our markings, we have double underlined the word Vidilma, and you can see we've done this consistently down the page. These are attempts to deflect this source, to respond or neutralize the source that we just found. Vidilma, hainu nevela, hainu misukenis. Maybe, as far as the Torah is concerned, is that nevela and misukenis are one and the same. And when the Torah prohibits nevela, it in effect is prohibiting misukenis as well. And then we would not be able to medayik, to infer that only nevela is usur but misukenis is mutter. So the Gemara to this says, lo salka daitoch. You can't think like that, to say that nevela and misukenis are one in the same. Dichtiv, v'chi yomus min abeima asher hi lochem lochlo, hanogea benivlosa la'achar misahu dekaya rachmona. Nevela. Mechayim lo ikri nevela. From this posuk, where we've dashed underlined benivlosa, the same posuk also said yomus min abeima. When does something gain a nevela status? Only after death. And not like was suggested in the Vidilma comment, where prior to death it also has the category or the status of nevela. That being the case, since Mechayim it's not called nevela, I can then infer, like we said before, that only after death is it prohibited, but prior to death, when it's a misukenis, it would be mutter. Once again, the Gemara rejects this, rejects our source. V'dilmo li'oilamei maloch hainu nevela, hainu misukenis. In fact, I will go back and insist that Nevela and Mesukenes are one in the same, in the sense that they're both prohibited. Mechayim ba'aseh, the Nevela Mesukenes, so to speak, that which we're calling Nevela while it's still alive, which we also refer to by the term Mesukenes, it's prohibited based on a positive command, namely the pasuk of Zos HaChaya Sher Tochelu that we mentioned above. In other words, if one eats a shechted Mesukenes, he will be in violation of that positive command. The positive command meaning only animals full of life is one allowed to eat, of course if they're shechted, but animals that are deathly ill, one is not allowed to eat. That's called an Isur Aseh. L'achar Misa, if that same animal that was already prohibited when alive, it gains a new level of prohibition, that L'achar Misa Belav. So that the fact that the Torah emphasizes that B'nivla Saw is after death, that is true insofar as it becoming prohibited on the basis of a negative command, a lav, which by the way carries with it a penalty of lashing. And aseh does not carry with it a penalty of lashing. It may be prohibited, but it's nevertheless not punishable by lashing. So at this point in the Gemara, we're saying that Mesukenes is in fact prohibited. Mesukenes is prohibited, Nevela is prohibited, and the fact that the Torah references Nevela as something after death, that's only as far as the new level of prohibition, the increased level of prohibition, namely the violation of a lav. But when it was still alive, and it was a Mesukenes, there was also a prohibition, an Isur Aseh. So I don't see from this pasuk, from Nevela Lo Tochal, I don't see from this pasuk an allowance, a heter for Mesukenes. Elo, Midomar Rachmona, here we have our second diamond, a second attempt to find a source for Mesukenes as being mutter. Elo, Midomar Rachmona, Trefa Lo Tochal. From the fact that the Torah says, you shall not eat a trefa. Trefa is an animal that has an organ deficiency. For example, a hole in many internal organs would render it a trefa. So the fact that the Torah says that you shall not eat a trefa, that is what is prohibited. Michlal de Mesukenes Sharia, we can infer that a Mesukenes is allowed. And how does that logic work? If one were to think that your basic Mesukenes is forbidden, Hashto Mesukenes de lo mechsira asira, mind you, an animal that's Mesukenes, it's definitely ill, but it doesn't have any organ deficiency, it doesn't have holes, it's not mechsira, it's not lacking in terms of completeness of organs. And yet it is forbidden. Trefa mibaya, trefa which has organ deficiency, would I need to be told that that is usur? So from the fact that the Torah focuses the prohibition on specifically the trefa, I conclude that only a trefa is prohibited and not the Mesukenes. The Gemara asks, similar to the style of questioning above, the dilma hainu trefa, hainu Mesukenes, the lavor alav the aseh velos aseh. Maybe in the Torah's mind, a Mesukenes is a trefa, and one who eats Mesukenes would be in violation of an aseh and a los aseh, the aseh of zos hachaya asher tochelu, and the los aseh of trefa los ochal. So the Gemara responds to that, and in other words, here we answer the attempted rejection, and says, Im Cain, if it were so that Nevela, that Trefa is Mesukenes, that Mesukenes and Trefa are one and the same, Nevela de Kosav Rachmona Lomali, why would there be any need for the Torah to teach a prohibition concerning Nevela? It would be very obvious. Uma mechayim koi alah belav ve'asei. Mind you, when the animal is still alive, there is a positive and negative violation in eating from such an animal, even after it's shechted. Le'achar misa mibaya. After it drops dead, would you need to be told that it is prohibited? It would be so obvious. Where did the Iser go? After all, as we said before, every nevela comes from a state of having been misukenis just before it died. And if you're telling me that nevela, that shreifa and misukenis are one and the same, then we know, we realize that it's usur even while it's still alive. It already gained a status of prohibition while it's still alive. When it drops dead, certainly it would be usur. So why does the Torah have to tell me about nevela being prohibited? So we have to explain. So from the fact that the Torah told us that nevela is prohibited, that will show us that when it was still alive, it must have been mutter, if it were a misukenis. The Gemara, though, rejects this and comes back with a new question. V'dilma, hainu nevela, hainu trefa, hainu misukenis. It could be that all of these violations describe the same animal. We'll explain this a little more clearly by looking in the Rashi. The Dilma Hainu Nevela, we're looking at Rashi in the lower, on the lower part of the page in the wide lines, in the middle of those wide lines. The Dilma Hainu Nevela, Hainu Treif, Hainu Misukenis, Klomar. Klomar is a very important word that appears in Rashi often, that essentially says that the explanation is not a function of simple translation, but needs more elaboration. Klomar, Afilu Benevela Shemesa La'achar Shenitrafa V'nis Takna. Even an animal that died after it had been a trefa and a misukenes, motzis mukmis lo, we can establish the posuk of nevela lo tochal, ve'afilu hachi itzterich, and even so, I need the nevela lo tochal, and it's not something that I could have come up with on my own. In other words, even though we'll establish that the misukenes was usur when it was still alive, I still need the Torah to tell me nevela lo tochal, that it's prohibited after it died. And what is the need for this information? That as a result of its dying, there are now two negative violations. Lav de nevela, v'lav de trefa. V'asei de chaya echol. And the positive command that one is in violation of, the pasuk before of zos hachaya sher tochelu. So turning back to the Gemara, we read once again the V'dilma with the double underline. V'dilma, hainu nevela, hainu trefo, hainu misukenes. It could be that, in fact, the misukenes is classified along with trefo as being prohibited. And the animal after, that very animal after it dies, the Torah informs me that it is prohibited. And if you'll ask, well, it's so obvious, why does the Torah have to tell me another pasuk of nevela lo tochal? I will answer, v'lav or alav, b'shnei lav and v'asei. That after it dies, a new facet of prohibition is added. And namely, that there's an additional negative command, as we saw in the Rashi. So, at this point, we still don't have a conclusive source indicating that misukenes is allowed. Elo mehocha. Number three. V'chelev nevela, v'chelev trefa yaseh l'chol melocha, v'achol lo tzuchluhu. This pasuk tells us that the chelev of a nevela and of a trefa, one can use, but one should not eat it. We should point out, chelev is substance, tissue matter found in animals, in domesticated animals, that's prohibited. In fact, it's highly prohibited. One who eats chaylev is guilty of kores, the kores penalty, kores punishment. This pasuk is telling us that one should not eat the chaylev of nevela nor the chaylev of trefa. On the surface, this pasuk would appear to be redundant. Why does the Torah inform us of don't eat the chaylev of nevela and trefa when we already know from other psukim that there is a chaylev prohibition? So the Torah is telling, the reason for this pasuk is to tell me yavo iser nevela v'yochol al iser chaylev, yavo iser trefa v'yochol al iser chaylev. There is a concept of ein isur chal al isur, that when something is prohibited, you can't add additional prohibitions to that very same substance. However, if the Torah says otherwise, then we will add prohibitions to something that was already prohibited. In this case, we have an animal that's a trefa. An animal that's a trefa is already usur while it's alive. The animal contains within it chaylev. Likewise, a nevela. A nevela is an animal that died. When that animal was alive, it had in it chaylev. The chaylev was already prohibited. Now that the animal dropped dead, let us say someone were to eat of the chaylev of that animal. The chaylev was already prohibited, we said. Now that it died, does the prohibition of nevela attach itself to the chaylev? The chaylev, as we said, is substance that's prohibited in an animal, even an animal that's properly shechted. The chaylev one cannot eat. Now that the animal dropped dead and it became a nevela, we are telling you here that the iser nevela comes and attaches itself to the iser chaylev. And likewise, the animal that developed a hole in one of its organs. Even before it developed the hole, the animal's chaylev was prohibited. The pasuk here informs us that the prohibition of trefa, which may have developed later, comes and attaches itself and becomes an additional problem with regard to the chaylev of this creature. That's called iser chal al iser. So that's the reason that this pasuk appears, even though we know that chaylev in general was already usur. This pasuk is telling us that the chaylev of nevela and the chaylev of trefa is usur and carries with it two isurim, each one respectively. Isser Chelev and Isser Neveva, or Isser Chelev and Isser Trefa. The I Salka Daitoch Trefa Haine Misukenes. If it were so that a Trefa and Misukenes are one in the same, that as a Misukenes it would be prohibited as a Trefa, Lichtoiv Rachmona, let the Torah write the Posuk differently. Let it write it as follows. Chaylev nevela yaaseh l'chol melacha, v'chaylev trefa lo yisoichluhu. The first part of this theoretical pasuk, chaylev nevela yaaseh l'chol melacha, tells us that the chaylev that comes from an animal that's a nevela, the chaylev is not mitame. That's a chidush. That's a novel point of law. That even though the source of chaylev, namely the body, the carcass of this animal, communicates ritual impurity, it communicates tumas nevela, the chaylev, once you extract it from the nevela, that chaylev substance will not communicate tuma. And then, in the same theoretical pasuk, it tells us that the chaylev trefa do not eat. Now, you'll ask, well, how do... And that from that we learn that iser chal al iser. V'ano amino, and then I would figure uma mechayim. mind you, when the animal is alive, it's still alive. Osi iser treifa chayal iser chaylev. The treifa prohibition attaches itself to the chaylev prohibition. Le'achar miso mibaya. Would I need to be told that the prohibition of nevela is able to attach itself to chaylev? That would be very obvious. From the fact that the Torah goes out of its way, so to speak, to tell us that the Isser Nevela attaches itself to the Chelev, Michlal, the Trefa Lav Hainu Misukenes. It can be inferred that the Trefa is not one in the same as Misukenes. And through this, I will then be able to infer that a treifa is aser, but a misukenes is mutter. And only if that misukenes dropped dead, then the iser nevela is chal, it sets in upon it. But when the misukenes was still alive, it would be allowed. Rashi elaborates on this line quite a bit more, and to gain a fuller appreciation, let us look at the Rashi. Across from here, Michlal, the Misukenes Lav Trefo Mikri. The Itzrich Lashmina Bahach Nevela, and the Torah, when it tells us, in addition to Chelev Trefo, it says Chelev Nevela Lo Tochal, the Torah has to tell us about the prohibition of the chaylev of nevela, the asya, that it's telling us about a nevela, the asya mikoyach mesukenes, the lo asya mikoyach trefa. It's an animal that dropped dead, coming from a state of being mesukenes, but not coming from a state of trefa. Shelo nitrefa koydim lochein. This animal that dropped dead had not developed any organ holes deficiencies. The techol aiser chaylev, and as such, since it's not coming from an Isser Trefa, so that I wouldn't be able to come to a through a Kal V'chomer that the Isser Nevela would be Chal on the Isser Chelev. Umi Kal V'chomer the Trefa, the Amrinu Numa Mechayim V'chulei, lo matzinu l'meilav gabi Nevela, the Isser Nevela Chayel a Isser Chelev. From a Kal V'chomer that we mentioned before, that if a Trefa, we see that the treifa is chal on the chelev mechayim, then certainly in the case of nevela, because the time of the treifa lav mishum kiruv misahu, the prohibition of treifa is not because of its closeness to death. Elo mishum chisaron, treifa's prohibition is coming from a different source of understanding. Its understanding is because it's lacking. Like the Gemara in the Perichat HaSa'of in Maseches Vochim points out that I need to be taught both prohibitions because they are coming from different sources of understanding. The problem of Trefa is a lacking in the organ, and the problem of Nevela is that it didn't receive a proper Shechita. These two aspects leave room for the Misukenes as being allowed, and only when it drops dead and becomes a Nevela having come from it being Misukenes just beforehand, but only after it's dead is it actually Usser. When it was still alive, it was a Misukenes, not lacking any organ deficiency, it in fact would be allowed, and that would serve as a source for Misukenes being mutter. To say it over simply, the fact that this posuk that deals with the chelev mentions chelev trefa and also chelev nevela as aser, this leaves room for saying that only a nevela is aser, but had it been still alive and misukenes, it would have been mutter. Maskif lo marbar of Ashi. Vidilma, again you see the double underline, an attempt to deflect our source, our answer. Vidilma li oilum eimo loch, hainu trefa, hainu misukenes. I will go back and tell you that misukenes in fact is classified as trefa. They are to be understood as one and the same as far as prohibition is concerned. Ude ko amris, And if you'll ask, then the veil of the kosav rachmona lomali, if as a mesukenis it's already usur, and we are assuming that animals drop dead having been immediately prior to its death a mesukenis, and if you're telling me as a mesukenis it is usur, so then why does the Torah have to tell me about a prohibition concerning the veil? It would be very obvious. So to that we answer, lahach nevela delolasi mikoch mesukenis vehechi dami shaso kistero. The Torah wants to tell us about a nevela that doesn't come from having been a mesukenis. And could there be an example of that? Yes, an animal that was made gistero. That's a case where the animal is, let us say, chopped in half. An animal like that is classified as a nevela. However, prior to its death, it wasn't sick. It wasn't a mesukenis. And I need the Torah to tell me that a nevela like that, the iser nevela will be chal, will attach itself to the iser chelev of that animal that we cut in half, that we chopped in half. The Gemara, though, deflects this deflection, thereby reinstating our answer by saying, Hasam nami, even in the case of gistera, e efshir delaave mesukenis purta mekame delifsik leruba. We're talking about an animal that was, let us say, chopped in half, or it was decapitated in one shot. However, moments, it could be split seconds, but it's enough for our argument. Split seconds before the rove, before the majority was chopped, it was at that point a mesukenis. So that even a gistera, which we classify as nevela, came from having been mesukenis. And if you'll tell me that mesukenis is usur, it's usur as trefa, then it's obvious that when it reaches the nevela state completely dead, it would be usur. And that the iser nevela would certainly attach itself to the iser chelev. Why does the Torah then have to tell me that after it became a nevela, the iser nevela attaches itself to the chelev? It must be because, as a mesukenis, in fact, it was not usur. So, as we look at the structure of the Gemara, after having learned this third response, we'll call it the chelev posuk, the Chelev Pasuk could serve as a good source for teaching that Mesukenis is Mutter. The Iboy Asema, an alternative answer. Im Kain. And once again, this Iboy Asema is focusing on the Chelev Pasuk. Im Kain, if it were so that Mesukenis was prohibited, Lema Chelev Nevela Utrefa. That's not what the Pasuk actually says. It says Chelev Nevela. We can actually look at the Pasuk because it was included on Omid Aleph. The Pasuk said the Chelev Nevela, the Chelev Trefa. Yaseh lechom lecho v'cholo suchlu. There was an extra word Chelev in there. After it said Chelev Nevela, it added Chelev Trefa. However, if it were so that Mesukenis was Usur, the Torah could have shortened itself and said, Chelev nevela utrefa. Chelev, chelev lomali. Why the extra chelev? The answer is, Zuhi she'ein chelba choluk mi besora. The extra chelev tells me that in the case of trefa, that's a case where the chelev is not different from the basar, from the meat. Namely, both are usur. The chelev is usur, and the meat is usur. Leaving room to infer, the yesh l'cha acheres, there is another kind of situation or creature, shechel b'choluk mi besara, where there is a distinction between the chelev and the meat. V'ei zo zo, and the A zo, and which one is it? Zu misukenes. That would be the case of the misukenes, where only the chalev is usur, but the meat, upon being slaughtered, would be allowed. So from the extra word chalev in that pasuk, we can infer what we just said. The emphasis being on chalev trefa, that's an example of an animal that's basar and chalev are not distinguishable, meaning they are both prohibited. But there's another situation where a distinction could be made. And of course, that distinction being the misukenes. The iboyesemo mehocha. Now we have a fifth approach in which we will discover that misukenes is allowed. First, a word of structure. This response we are calling a long point. The reason for this is that we're going to start with a pasuk from Yechezkel, where Yechezkel is pleading with the Almighty and saying how careful he was in his religious behavior. And amongst the points that he makes, he says, and dashed underline it, even if you skim ahead, you can see where he says, Shelo achalti basar kois kois me'olam. I didn't eat from basar kos kos, we are going to interpret as misukenes. And the Gemara will say that if the Navi is, will say, priding himself on his stringencies, it shows us that it must be that he was restricting himself from something that otherwise, that for the commoner, would have been allowed. And that's the case of misukenes. Because if you're going to argue that the misukenes was prohibited, then what's the Navi priding himself? What's the prophet priding himself on observing something that everyone is obligated to observe? It wouldn't show that he is on any higher level of piety than anyone else if he's simply observing letter of the law. So from the fact that he turns to the Almighty and says, look at me, I did not eat from the sukenes, something that is basically allowed for everyone else. I simply wanted to stay away from problematic situations. That shows us that the sukenes is mutter by letter of the law. Now, to see the entire quote, the iboyesemo mehocha, an alternative source for misukenes being mutter, we'll see from here, from the following. The omar, aho Hashem Elokim, hine nafshi lo mitumo, unavelu trefa lo achalti minurai v'arato, v'lo bo befi basar pibol. That's the pasuk, and now the Gemara breaks it down to show us what the prophet was saying to the Almighty. Hine nafshi lo mitumo. Shalohir harti bayoim, I didn't have thoughts of an immoral nature, and as a result of thinking or having my mind preoccupied with matters of immorality, ubosi lidei tuma balayla, and I thereby prevented myself from experiencing emergence of male seed at night. Well, that's a matter, that's quite a level of piety, where he's able to control his thoughts and prevent himself by through self-control not to ponder matters of immorality. Unevela utrefa lo achalti minurai. Literally, the pasuk says, I didn't eat from nevela and trefa from my youth. Well, what's the big deal if he didn't eat real nevela trefa? Everyone is commanded not to eat nevela trefa. What? Why would the prophet turn to the Almighty and pride himself, so to speak, on his abstinence from nevela trefa when it's something that everyone is obligated to desist from? So what is he actually saying? Shelo achalti basar kois kois me'olam. The word kois literally means shecht. An animal that's deathly ill, it's in the interest of the owner to have it shechted quickly before it drops dead. Because as an animal that simply died, its value, its meat value is minimal. However, if it's shechted and thereby gaining a kosher status or preventing it from becoming nevela, it will have much greater value on the market. So, but the Navi is saying, I never ate from meat that people were rushing to shecht. Namely, I never ate from misukenes. V'lobo b'fi basar pigol. What does that mean? And here we have two pshatim. One, shelo achalti mebeima shehira b'chocham. I never ate from an animal that needed to be ruled upon by a rabbi. There are many cases in the realm of kosher meat that a seeming problem emerged in the animal, let's say a certain type of seeming organ deficiency, and if you research it with a rabbinic figure, he may be able to conclude that the deficiency is not sufficient to ruin the animal, and it's kosher. But the Navi is saying, I stayed away from any meat that had to go through any questioning. Because once it goes through questioning, it already casts a shadow of doubt on it. So I stayed away from even doubts. Mishum Rabbi Nosson Amru, in the name of Rabbi Nosson, it was explained, Shelo achalti mibeima shelo urmu mat nosel. The Navi is priding himself that he never ate from meat from which the portions that are given to a Kohen have not been removed. In a standard chulin shchita, the zroa, the forearm, the chayayim, the cheek, and the keva, the stomach, is given as a gift to Kohanim. If the parts are not removed, those parts are not removed from the animal, it doesn't mean that the meat is forbidden to be eaten. This is, let's say, in contrast with, let us say, fruits that are not tithed. Untithed fruits are, in fact, forbidden to eat. But an untithed animal, so to speak, the term tithing being used as a reference to these parts that are given to a Kohen, if they're not removed, the meat is, in fact, mutter. But the Navi is saying, nevertheless, I would not eat from animals whose Kohen portions were not prior removed. Now, the Gemara develops the proof. E amres bishlamo sharia, if you say very well that the misukenes is something allowed to the public, hainu rabuse de cheskel, then I understand the added feature, the added dimension of Yecheskel's piety. Eloi amris asira, if you say that the misukenes is something that's usur to the public, my rabuse de Yecheskel, what's the expression of additional piety that Yecheskel is expressing here? So from this we see that misukenes is something that is basically allowed, and the Navi himself exercised extra restraint and didn't eat from that. Heichi domi misukenes. What is an example of a misukenes? If I look at an animal, can I see by looking at it that it is deathly ill? In this piece of Gemara, there are two lishonos. They're illustrated by the Roman numerals 1 and a few lines later, a 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The primary differences in these two lishonos are who says what. In other words, differences in terms of names. So the Gemara, upon asking, Heichi dami misukenes, how is a misukenes to be described? Omar Rav Yudah Marav, kol shema midim oisav eino medes. Any animal that you try to stand it up, and because of its sickly situation, it cannot stand. Rav Chanina bar Shalmio Mishmei de Rav, Omar, afilu ocheles bekoyos. If it cannot stand, it is a misukenes, even if it demonstrates strength in its jaw, that it's able to eat bekoyos. Bekoyos are hunks of wood. So that even though it's able to chew on wood, which you might have thought is a sign of health, that does not remove it from the misukenes category. Rami bar Yecheskel amar afilu ocheles koros. He adds even further, even if the animal is chewing on beams, which would seem to be an extra level of life breath to it, an extra level of health to it, nevertheless, it still is classified as misukenes. Besura masni hochi. Up till now, this was the Sura version of the misukenes description. Pumbadisa Masni Hachi. In Pumbadisa, which was another Torah center in the time of Bavel, in Pumbadisa they teach as follows: Hei Chidami Mesukenes. How is Mesukenes to be described? Omer of Yudah Marav. Kol Shema Mida Moiso Veino Medes. Any animal you try to stand up and it doesn't stand. Vafilo Chavos Bekoyos. Now you'll notice we've dashed on a few old chaz b'koyos. Contrast that with the dashed underlining before, where you see it, but under the name Rav Hanina bar Shalmia. Here, Rav Yudah Marav, who opens up this lashon and opened up the first lashon as well. Here, he is saying both points. In other words, both points are under the name Rav Yudah Marav, as opposed to the previous lashon. But as far as actual descriptions are concerned, there's no difference. What is being said here was said above, that an animal that you try to stand up and it can't stand because of its sickliness, even if it's demonstrating strength in its jaws, it's able to chew on hunks of wood, it's still called mesukenes. Rami bar Yecheskelmar, afilu ocheles koros. This is the same as the lashon above, where Rami bar Yecheskel said, even if it's chewing on beans. Ashkachinu Shmuel lo Talmidei de Rav. Shmuel met up with the students of Rav. Omar lohu, my Omar Rav the Mesukenes. What does Rav say about Mesukenes? Omrule, so the students of Rav said, Omar Rav, Omrule, Hochi Omar Rav, thusly Rav says, Goya ve Tilare ve Kishkishka ba Aznare ze Pirchus. Just to recount what we have learned quite a while before in today's shiur, that a mesukenes, if it's shechted and shows signs of life after the shechita, that will show that it died as a result of the shechita and not as a result of it having been deathly ill and hence dying before the completion of the shechita. So Rav is reporting over here that, after being asked, what does Rav say about Mesukenes? So they answered, Rav says that if it demonstrates the following signs, then that is its pirchus, and that will show that the shechita was a good shechita. Now, what are the signs? So the Gemara at the top here of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph says, Goya. The expression Goya is the sounds of screaming that an animal makes. Or, even though the Vav here is like the word, like Oi, that's an alternative, not a vav of addition. So goa vihitila means or hitila rei, or it defecated. Or kishkishgab is never wagged its tail. In other words, any of these things would be a sign of a pirchus. Shmuel, upon hearing this, says that the standard that Rav expects for Pirchus is a very extreme standard. In other words, even with something less than what Rav mentioned would constitute a Pirchus. Amongst the things that Rav mentioned was Kishkisha Be'ozna, the wagging of its ear. And to that Shmuel says, well, that's a great sign of life, of great health, if you will. And therefore, Shmuel says that I don't need such a strong sign. I can, even something less than that would still be sufficient for constituting pirchus, which is a necessary sign indicating that the shechita was effective and that it did not die prior to that. But as far as getting into the argument or the description of Shmuel, that we will, Mirtz Hashem, deal with next time. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.